when you're a clear conduit and you're not distracted by physical ailments, you're not distracted by stress or something breaking down in your body, you're able to tap into more of your divinity.
Welcome to the Riley June Show. I'm your host, Riley June, International Intuition Coach and Spiritual Activator. This podcast is designed for the souls who are ready to dive into what spirituality, consciousness, and healing truly is like. Here you will find the conversations and insight most spiritual teachers aren't willing to have. Why? Because we pull back the curtain on what truly takes place as you move through your healing journey, the duality of the light and the dark, and the role ethics and integrity undeniably play in your ascension experience. I have had the pleasure of working with tens of thousands of people, from clients, stories shared through messenger chats, and others in the industry, to know exactly what this journey will look like for you. These episodes will share conversations of industry leaders bridging the gap to the new paradigm of reality, and individuals sharing their heart through their soul's journey they've been through and what they've learned along the way. So if you're ready to go deep, unlock truth, and activate into the blueprint of you, this is going to be a space you're not going to want to miss out every Monday. Are you ready? Let's activate. Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back to another session. I am super excited to have a very special guest here today, Dr. Jacques. Dr. Jacques is a naturopathic health expert who facilitates healing through ancient traditions. After navigating a near-death experience that landed him in the hospital, leaving him with a confusion of why, along with infertility issues in his marriage and debilitating pains and headaches that he discovered was from mold toxicity, Jacques set out to uncover the truth of how to get to the root cause of solving these issues. Years later, not only after healing himself and his family, he combined the knowledge of his chiropractic work and ancient traditions and healings to resolve thousands of others' issues. Now, who speaks publicly, coaches, trains, and supports people with his public findings to continue to help others in their daily lives with his life-changing work. So thank you so much for being here with us today.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. I'm happy to be here.
So I would love for you, I gave a bit of an intro, but I'd love for you to share a bit about what inspired you to really take what you knew to social media, to the world.
Yeah. I mean, if anybody knows me on a personal level, I despise social media. I don't like it. I don't like being on it. So the fact that people are seeing me on it, there had to be a strong why as to why I was doing this. And quite honestly, throughout my whole life, really, I've been seen as the underdog. I was really skinny when I was a kid. I got bullied because my name was Jacques. I mean, there's so many different ways that people can destroy that name and belittle you. I got beat up all the time, but like, through those experiences, you know, I feel as though I am like, that's like my ideal client is like the underdog, the people where the medical system either has failed them or they've led them astray or they led them down a wrong path. And then all of a sudden they're like, I don't know how to get my health back. And so through me jumping onto social media, it was, you know, I'm just a guy behind a phone for most of the time and I'll do like, you know, my consults, but I kept hearing more and more and more people suffering with so many of the same things and being failed time and time again that I got out of my comfort zone. I'm like, I'm going to have to do this stuff. I'm going to have to start investing in pushing the message out there. And by doing that, I mean, it's so satisfying because it's giving people hope again where they may have never thought that they can get it. And that makes me so happy, you know, from like an adult standpoint, but this stuff trickles down for kids. And if anybody knows me, I'm obsessed with like my kids and family. It means everything to me. I even canceled my day yesterday because my kiddos had a little fever. I'm like, boom, I'm done. Like I'm here to be dad mode. But I'm just happy to do this stuff. And even though it makes me uncomfortable, you'll see me on social media. But yeah, I mean, behind every post, I think it's really important. And it'll kind of soften material too, because I tend to be a little bit intense, but behind every post that I make, just know that there's like a super uncomfortable version of myself that had to shoot that video. Hopefully it's a little bit easier to digest that way.
Yeah.
I love that because I feel like for a lot of people, they see someone standing in the authority of the knowledge of whatever it is that they feel called to share or really well educated on. And they're like, oh, this person's so confident and they got it all put together. And it's like, no, usually people are just like scared shitless doing the thing anyways. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm super confident with like all the books and stuff, everything that I read, my protocols, I am super confident. But then when it comes to like that awkwardness of getting on social media and like, will people like me if I say this? Like, is that self-doubt that just kind of, you know, tries to creep in to just throw you away from it? But it's worth it. It's worth pushing through the pain.
I feel the exact same way. So for you, something that you had mentioned was that there was this deep passion to support people with stress management. And the more and more that I dig into this, I really realize that this comes through gut health and really understanding what that is. So I know that this is a very big topic, but I would love
to see my big smile start kicking in. I'm like, yes, let's go there.
I would love for you to just, I guess, start digging into really the correlation between the two, because a lot of people, obviously my work is a lot in spirituality and energy understanding.
Sure.
But as much as that is important, there is a very important physical aspect that is very correlated with that. So I'd love to let you just like take it off and then I'll pop in and ask questions as we go.
Yeah. So, I mean, I want to touch base on the spiritual component of this as well. Yeah. So I do work with a lot of like the spiritual influencers on Instagram or wherever they may be. And what's really amazing, and even just like your average people that are just like, I just want to be healthy. When you're a clear conduit and you're not distracted by physical ailments, you're not distracted by stress or something breaking down in your body, you're able to tap into more of your divinity. And so I tell, you know, there's so many people who we have our 100% potential and we're functioning so below that and we just become too good to be great. We're just stuck there. I'm like, well, it's not that bad, or I'm not bad compared to Joe over here. I'm not bad compared to Susie. It's like, well, that it doesn't matter. They're different people, but your potential, you should have that lust for life where you really want to be able to achieve anything and everything. Yeah. Now, when it comes to the gut health, and it's amazing, when we started this off, I think before we even jumped on, like this is divine timing. I literally just had this conversation and I learned even more about this as I was going out to, I did a Northwoods trip with a couple of my buddies and stuff. And it was a great trip, but I got the opportunity to listen to some audiobooks as I was up there. And I coached doctors, and there's a doctor that I really respect and I learned a lot from him, but he loves to put the stress component first. And I'm like, no. I put the gut first. And so like, I have this internal battle where, yeah, I approach both of them. Obviously I'm not going to neglect that, but I'm like, what came first, you know, the chicken or the egg? Yeah. And you know, I was talking to another kid that I coach, a guy that I coach, and I'm like, you know, we put all this emphasis on the stress component, but like, I've seen that. What if you've got mold toxicity? You know, it's going to damage your gut, and then you're not going to be able to get your brain under control. You're not going to be able to control your thoughts. And so this book that I was reading, I think it's called like Brainmaker, I think is what it's called. And it goes into, as Dr. Perlmutter, he's talking about how when we have a damaged gut, be it from stress can absolutely do it, but poor diet, poor food, you could say like locked up chakras as well that can damage gut health and also cause adrenal damage as well. When we have these things happen, we alter our gut microbiome. And then what happens is we radio that back. We have these loops, we call them feedback loops in our body. And if our body is in a stress state or if our gut is inflamed, it's really difficult for us to get our minds under control. And if we're doing all the spiritual work, but then we're throwing down McDonald's and you're poisoning your gut, it's like, what are you doing? Like you're dumbing yourself down. You're dumbing down your potential, and you're going to fall victim to the toxic releases taking place upon consumption. Yeah. And so what they found in research is when you have a gut that's inflamed, you actually have an over-exaggerated stress response to a relatively average stimuli. So what does that mean? If somebody sees, I'm trying to think of something. If somebody sees these glasses, my blue light glasses that I can't use because it'll reflect off the light. But if somebody sees these and there's like a scratch in the lens, right? Somebody might say, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. This is ridiculous. Like, oh my word, I can't believe this happened. Why did this happen to me? Or you could be like, ah, that sucks. Well, I'll fix that or I'll get a new pair. You know, and there's two different perceptions of that. And we talk about this from a genetic component too, which I'm not sure how much you know about this, but from an epigenetic realm of things, we have the perception of what happens to us. And for me, I say what happens for us. And if we run it through that filter first, we're able to lessen that stress response on our bodies and preserve us. So the gut is so huge in overall health, because anything you put into your body goes into your mouth, which is the first thing your mouth does is digest. So you can't alter anything without proper digestion. That's my piece on that.
This is so I love this stuff so much, because for my husband, he was diagnosed with congenital heart failure. He needed an aortic valve replacement. Mm-hmm. And what we've actually come to find more recently is because of certain machines that were used during that, there was actually a bacteria, there's the word, that was getting filtered into people's bodies, and it was causing a lot of issues. And there's been quite a few handfuls of people who've died because of it. Because it just, when you get anything that goes directly into your heart during a heart surgery, like, you're pretty hooped. So for him, it's a miracle that he's even living. He ended up going on to have 3 more open heart surgeries because of the damage from this. But even on the other side of that, you know, he won't be able to repair the valve that has now been replaced that is mechanical, or the Kevlar that holds together the sleeve of his aorta. Mm-hmm. But there is so much more around that still can be healed. And he knows that. And we work on this on a cellular level often. And something that he came to find is that as he continued to go through the medical system, at this point, they had really done all they could. They replaced and repaired the valve, and that's their job.
Right.
But when it came to more of the cellular healing work, the mindset healing work, we ended up going to a private clinic because it was just, how many more pills can you guys give him to hopefully solve this problem? And I do obviously believe Western medicine has its place.
Exactly.
Needed it for him to live.
Yes.
But it's not the end all be all. And through this private clinic, we actually learned that a lot of the complications and palpitations that he was having now was actually due to the imbalance in his micro gut biome in his body. Mm-hmm. And so through then cellular testing and like really getting into what was going on throughout his entire body and his genetic markers, he learned so much more that, of course, in Canada, we don't do this. Everyone's like, oh, you're free healthcare. I'm like, yeah, trust me, it only goes so far.
Free-ish.
We have free-ish. We'd rather pay. So they're sending all this stuff out to the States. And what we got back was like revolutionary to actually understanding what was going on. And he's dug into Dr. Stephen Gundry's work with the longevity paradox to really like understand and conceptualize this more for himself. But it was an absolute game changer. And when we started to learn that every body is different. So just because you think rice is good, his body gets super inflamed from it and he starts actually having palpitations. Potatoes, same thing. It's like, oh, it's a basic starch, right? And potatoes, for so many reasons, unless you're really buying them from the store, they're homegrown. They have so much nutrition density to them. But for him, again, his body just totally does not like them. And so what he thought was healthy things that he was eating, he came to find out through individual testing was actually doing him so much more damage. And that was causing a lot of stress because he couldn't figure out, I'm eating right and I'm doing well and I'm, you know, moving, exercising. Like, why don't I have energy? Why can't I get my emotions under control? Why am I all over the place? And even for myself, I'm a very healthy person. I look very forward to getting my own genetic testing done because the more I go into this, I'm like, oh man, I can't wait to see what this tells me.
Yeah.
But I find that it was through really looking at what I was putting in my body that was actually giving me the ability to manage my emotions, my hormones, my experience, and ultimately my perception, which changed everything once I started going down that path.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, do you want to put high octane fuel in your tank or do you want to put sugar in your gas tank? Like, quite honestly, and it's such a big difference. And I think one of the things that you can kind of take away from that too is, yes, medicine has its place. If it's to save your life, absolutely. But that's it. And we can't go towards westernized medicine with the assumption that if we go to a doctor, we're leaving with health.
Yeah.
Because we're leaving with a medication. And just because you have a medication, just because that medication may suppress a symptom, it's not healthy for the body.
Yeah.
And it's not going to solve the underlying, a lot of the times, it's not going to solve the underlying cause. And when we talk about heart, to me, heart is a big response organ, just like the thyroid. If you have internal damage or inflammation, your heart can have palpitations. You're going to have inflamed blood, which means your heart's going to work harder. Damage to your gut, that's also going to cause a decrease in conversion of your T4, your thyroid hormone T4 to T3. And then you can have an issue with your thyroid, whether it goes hypo or hyper. If you have hyper, then you're going to have more of the heart palpitations. So there's so many intricate pieces in this that once medicine has taken you as far as they can go, you guys became your own health advocates, which is exactly like I want everybody. And that's why I do this stuff. That's why I get uncomfortable, is because we should be taught at a very young age in health class, in school, whatever. We shouldn't be like, hey, here's the standard American diet, which I don't, do you guys have a standard American diet in Canada? Like,
is we that a use thing? Basically the same thing. And I have a hilarious story about this, but I'll let you finish because it just, it's not good for you.
No, like for me, I'm like, if you eat the standard American diet, you're going to look like the standard American. You're going to look like the pyramid. You're going to look like the food pyramid. Like you're going to have that shape. Like it's so horrible for you. So what were you going to, I'm super curious on your view on this. What do you have over there that you're laughing so hard about?
So when I was in my first pregnancy, I had a higher level of just when I was doing the insulin test, which I then learned about how you like the last thing you should do is drink that drink, which was that like
stupid glucose tolerance test. Yeah. I hate that test.
Oh man. So I took it and then my levels weren't over, but they were coming up on the higher end, which, you know, now I think about it, I'm like, who drinks that and has it anywhere near a normal amount? Like, that's wild to me.
Yep.
So they sent me to a diabetes clinic to learn about it and follow my insulin and all these things. And I had learned and I had been in the fitness industry and just like really understanding more components of health at this point. So I knew that a standard diet is not actually beneficial, especially when one of the main components is milk and cheese. I'm like, no.
Yep.
And this lady sits me down and she pulls out these like foamy cartons of milk and these puffy vegetables. And she shows me a plate that's divided and she puts them on it. And she's like, this is what you should be relatively eating in a day. And I looked at her and I was like, I sure hope you don't tell this to everyone. And she looked so confused. And I was like, milk is one of the worst things for people because of the levels of hormones that are in it. I was like, how does that even make sense? And she didn't even know what to say because she either never been taught this, never knew it, or just was oblivious to it.
Yeah.
And I walked out of there and I was like, okay, I clearly don't have a problem if this is my solution. And it just cracks me up every time because I'm like, what you're taught and what's reality is so different.
Yeah. But when you call your doctors out, you get such a, like a flabbergasted response. You're like, what? Like, your computer's like, does not like, how do I type this? Wait, what? Well, if you're not going to do dairy, they're not like, hey, try goat's milk or anything. They're like, you just eat it, drink it. You have to, it's for your bones. Like what? Like literally you can tell based off of how people were raised. And again, I'm assuming like we have the milk propaganda here. You probably have it as well, but everybody can complete the sentence, right? Milk does the body good. That's usually what people will think or what they're associated, at least in America it is. And like, no, like if you look back at it, that was literally to try to help the dairy farmers. There's nothing against dairy farming. Like if you have raw cow's milk, it can be beneficial. Me personally, I don't really tell anybody to drink milk just because so many of us, whether we have sensitivities to it or not, we have that intolerance to it. There's a colostrum that could be beneficial for like cancer and things of that nature. But as a whole, I'm like, just stay away from that stuff because the amount of times that I'll pull people into a healthy diet and like, I tried dairy back and I didn't notice any symptoms. I had a guy today say this. I'm like, how's your energy? And he was like, I'm tired. I'm like, yeah. When do you usually get tired? And he was like, oh, I'm like, told you, pull it out. I guarantee you, you'll get energy back. He's like, ah. I thought I was good. I'm like, I told you, like there's staples in nutrition, in my opinion, that should be avoided in order for you to be at optimal health. Cause I feel everybody deserves to be at optimal health or at least know that it's out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And obviously I'm not well as versed as you, but it's like, that's one of the first components when you walk anyone through spiritual ascension is you have to assess each area of your life. So if you're assessing your relationships and the communication or lack of, your money, your mindset around it, your health, you have to do yourself this justice. And that doesn't mean that you have to go into every area and break out this master plan and do 1700 new things today that you didn't do yesterday. But it's like, it's really about starting, I always say, 1 degree shift at a time. You know, start with the awareness. What's your energy like once you eat something, when you talk to somebody, when you experience something, and then go off those mile markers. And then as you continue to develop more patterns, seek the help for where you need it. And I think that that's really valuable for people to understand, because we tend to think that, oh, well, if I'm going to go on this journey, I got to go all in, fix it all tomorrow. Like, how am I not at the destination yet? But it's a process, right? Because just as much as you shift your diet to better yourself, there's still an integration period where your body has to process, like, wait, I'm used to all of this chemical. Where is it now? And it has to learn to adjust itself as you remove it and replace it with something else.
Yeah, you've got, and I don't, you probably know this, but with gluten and dairy, you have gluteomorphines and you have caseomorphines, which makes both foods chemically addictive, as if it was like a morphine release. So it's some of the hardest thing for people to get away from. So it makes sense. You go through that withdrawal process for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You're like, yeah, I need it. And then afterwards you're like, why did I ever need that? But something that you said, and I doubt that you've put this together, but when you said 1 degree shift, I immediately went to numbers. So if you think 1 degree shift, 360 degrees, it takes you to do one full rotation. Yeah. So if you start today, in about 1 year, you have the ability to come back to where you were and you have a new level of experience, health, etc. You've come full circle. And if you continue to do that each year, you just get closer and closer to that divinity again. So just a cool way to kind of look at that.
I love that perspective, because it really gives people the ability to see that, okay, I don't have to be better in a week. I don't have to be better in 5 months. Like, one day at a time, which is ultimately what anybody says when it's like, okay, take this one step at a time, one day at a time.
Yep.
But giving that perspective of, you know, doing a full life transition, it ultimately takes about a year anyways to really rid yourself of those habits. And of course, some people can do it sooner based on determination and motivation, but then you still question, like, are you doing that out of desperation and a fight and flight response? Or are you doing it, you know, because you're really just genuinely that motivated and your why is bigger than the uncomfortable feeling of what you're dealing with?
I love it. You have to have the big why. I love that you just said that. Yes, yes, and yes.
Yeah. I love that. So I'd love to take a couple minutes to dig into a little bit about infertility, because this has been a wildly insane topic over the last few years, as women are finding themselves in those years to have babies. And since 14, 12 years old, they've been slapped on birth control. And now we have this, you know, medical cure that's here for everybody as a blanket treatment that has so much coercion behind it. And it's like, okay, how are we not seeing this?
Yeah.
So I'd love for you to just touch on, for now, and we'll see where it goes, but what was some of those things for you that really gave you the motivation to pursue unlocking and understanding this more for yourself and your family?
Yeah. So just a brief background. So my wife, Megan, she had a uterine fibroid cut off, big one, like the size of a grapefruit, cut off 6 months prior to her meeting me. And, you know, we knew about it and we changed diet and stuff. She was pretty healthy after that. And we knew that, you know, she had the scar there and that was just like, that was it. So we eventually wanted to get pregnant, and her hormones were just completely out of balance. She had an excess estrogen, so we had to work on the drainage pathways to get those out, which there's three of them. For those of you who don't know, there's three different types of ways to drain the estrogens. You don't want to just throw DIM at something and say, you're good, because you could back up a pathway. Drives me nuts. So we went through that journey and we were like, okay, like we really need to pour into this a little bit more, because I want to make sure that, you know, we can get pregnant, we can do these things. And so we had, prior to getting pregnant with our son, we had a chemical miscarriage. It was basically a miscarriage. And that was like shattering to us. Like, we thought we were doing everything right. We're like, what the hell is going on? Pardon my French, but what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And so that realization, we got pregnant the next month. That realization was what allowed me to know that there's different things, there's different factors, and I call them, I kind of branded it myself. I need to trademark it because I keep talking about it and somebody's going to steal it from me. But it's called a fertility triad. And it's the top three things that your doctors don't test. And so I say you're stressed, you're infected, or you're toxic. So stress, I mean, this one, I don't understand how doctors miss this one. I have no idea how they miss this one. In order for you to get the diagnosis of infertility, usually you have to go 12 months or longer to get the diagnosis. Okay? So let's extrapolate that. That means 12 failed attempts at least before you get into the fertility or infertility realm, and then you can go and do treatment, et cetera. So what does that do to a woman's psyche or the man? And you're like, oh, is it your fault? Is it my fault? And the blame game keeps going back and forth. The act of conception should be this magnificently beautiful, enjoying experience. Like, it should just come super easy. It should be such a blessing. And we're now treating it like a disease. And you're missing the stress component. And so they're shoving people full of progesterone. And they're like, here's some progesterone. You need this to regulate your cycle. Here's your progesterone. But when are they telling you about the pregnenolone steal or the cortisol steal, that even though you're giving progesterone, you're just taking that and creating more stress, creating more cortisol. So you're putting a Band-Aid on the problem. Could you get pregnant? Maybe. But more often than not, those treatments fail because you're not addressing that underlying cause. And then you're like, oh, well, IUI didn't work for you. Let's go IVF, which is like, I know, I forget what the statistic is. I'm actually coming out with an infertility webinar. Maybe this would be more motivation to talk about it. But there's a statistic that they want basically every single pregnancy, at least one in two, I think by the year like 2040, like 50% of pregnancies should be due to IVF, and then 100% of them cesarean birth. And so IVF, you increase your risk of childhood cancer seven times higher risk of reproductive damage, eyes, kidneys, liver, like all of these areas could be sacrificed because of IVF treatment. Sick people have sick kids. Even if you get pregnant, mom, you're passing on your microbiome. What's been happening to you? Your toxic load for 100 days prior to conception is then being passed in like this seal sign delivered package to your baby. If you don't take the time to heal yourself, you will have a sick child. And it drives me insane because children are everything to me. And we have friends that have kids who have been succumbed to cancers and stuff. I'm like, where did it come from? I'm like, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but like there's so much to this topic. So the stress component is massive. The infected component, all right, even if you just have leaky gut, that causes inflammation to your uterine lining. Yeah. Just that. And how many people have leaky gut? I run stool tests all the time. It's like 90-some% of my patients have leaky gut, or they have some sort of infection that's causing them to have inflammation somewhere in their digestive tract, or they're constipated because women don't know that you're supposed to poop 2 to 4 times a day. And like, I poop once a week, and like, that's not good, you know? And so that's eye-opening for people. And then a toxicity level, you know, from our air, our water, we're getting pounded with heavy metals and chemicals, pesticides. And then from mold component, mold is one of the top things, at least in the states that I deal with. I'm assuming because you guys are northern, you have the snow and stuff that melts. You probably have that same issue up there. And there's specific molds that will cause miscarriages, which is so crazy for people to even think of. And I'm like, did you get tested for mold? Like, what does that have to do with anything? Well, if you have mycophenolic acid, a chemical component, a toxic component of Aspergillus and Penicillium, you're gonna have a high risk for miscarriage. And if you're still exposed to it and you do get pregnant, say you do IVF and you're holding that baby in there and you're still being exposed, it increases your risk of congenital malformations. So your baby's not born properly. It's like fix the dang problem. So that way you can have a super healthy, awesome kid and experience life the way that we do. We love being parents. It's so amazing. Sorry, I went off on a crazy tangent there, but I'm so passionate about this topic. It's insane. So this is why I'm so vocal on this topic, because I feel like everybody should understand this. And from an adrenal standpoint, right? Say Riley, that you're too exhausted all day, every day. You're just completely exhausted. You think bringing a kid into this world is going to help? you're going to sacrifice yourself and watch how fast you go into postpartum depression. It's going to be like overnight, boom, it happens. And that stress component, birth, if you had previous mold exposure, can then unlock mold exposure. So you get boom, boom, you get double compounded with the, it's, sorry, but
no, this is gold.
Yeah. I'm at a point where I never thought in my wildest dream, I mean, you think 5, 10 years ago, probably 10 years ago, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to work with infertility. I would have never thought that. And it's just something that's such a hot topic, having gone through it ourselves. And, you know, her doctor told her that she shouldn't have gotten pregnant and she was supposed to have an emergency C-section at 37 weeks. Otherwise, her uterus was going to explode. And we had two beautiful home births, like natural births, no medications or anything. And to me, it's like a double flightless bird to those doctors. I'm like, we were right. You were wrong. Like, move along now. So,
I love everything that you share and how you do it with such passion, because what I keep coming to realize is that pregnant women are being treated like they're sick. Yeah. And going through this experience myself, my first pregnancy was, you know, I did all the standard things you're supposed to mm-hmm. do. My son, when he was born, I took one look at him and I knew that there was something wrong. And everyone was like, oh, you're a new mom. Like, it's fine. He's okay. I'm like, I might not be a doctor, but you can very well see that he is labored breathing, and they check it and they're fine. No. Well, 12 weeks later, when we finally got into a pediatrician, she sent him in for emergency heart surgery within 2 weeks because he had a blockage in his, coartation.
Gotcha.
So there was an issue, and they just disregard what you say immediately because you're not the expert. And it's so frustrating, because then with my second pregnancy, my daughter, I had the worst pregnancy. I also was eating like way more salt than I probably should have, but I also didn't realize that I was trying to compensate for low blood pressure. And so I carried so much retention in my body. I had sciatica. I was like, oh my gosh, the worst. And then when she was born, I wanted to do it without drugs, and they gave me a shot of fentanyl 5 minutes before she was born. So she came out high as a kite, and she ended up coding. Yeah. She ended up coding because she didn't know how to breathe. She was lost. Right. Oh, thankfully she's living and she's fine. But even before that, I had to fake being in labor to get them to induce me, because through a series of 5 ultrasounds, they couldn't figure out if she was growing properly or not. Yeah. And everyone was like, well, you have to just at some point take our word for it. I'm like, you guys ignored the fact that my son had a clear issue and you can't make up your mind. Like, I'm not going to take your word for it. That's crazy. And so I walked into the hospital for 5 days, pretending I was in labor, like stimulating it myself. And then they eventually just induced me. And so now with this pregnancy, they're like, well, you've had all these complications in the past, and I'm like, this is 3 years later. I'm a different person in a different place in my life, totally different circumstances. You know, sure, I'll do some of the checkups because of the heart stuff, which you can't even properly scan when the baby's in utero anyways, but okay, I'll play along. But this is like not the same. And it's just constantly like, oh, and you don't have the shot. I'm like, of course I'm not going to get the shot. Like, have you read the documents that came up?
Do you want me to keep this thing inside me, or do you want it to come out? What do you want to do right now?
Yeah, like, how are you the professionals? But it takes what? One person with a set of eyes and a brain to read documents from the companies that produce this stuff to be like, that's a huge red flag.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind. And it's so interesting, especially you going into like the components of it, because we're not taught these things, just like we're not taught about our diet. And obviously by design, because if we all knew about it, we'd be thriving, pharmaceutical companies would be broke, and there wouldn't be hospitals except for like actual emergencies, like it's supposed to be. You know, we see the rates of autism and cancer and all these debilitating issues in children, but also in adulthood now coming about. Mm. And people are like, oh, well, there's more CO2 in the air. I'm like, actually, there's like way less than there should be. Or, oh, it's, you know, the waters are now taken care of. It's like, no, there's actually way more levels of fluoride and aluminum and all these things in it. plus mm-hmm. the levels of shots you give people growing up, plus this, plus that, plus mm-hmm. it's like, no wonder we live in a sick society. And it's like, everybody knows that the pharmaceutical companies are here to keep you sick. But then it's like the first thing where it's like, oh, I have a problem. I got to get a pill. It's like, mm-hmm. for what? Do you know what for? Like, that doesn't yeah. even register. Like, what? What's going on?
Yeah. We're just programmed and we're indoctrinated into this, you know, and even for, and I'm happy that you went to a pediatrician for your son because you knew something was wrong. Our kids have never been to a pediatrician. And people are like, why? And I'm like, well, first off, I'm a doctor. So like, I would know if something was wrong. I run my own diagnostics on my kids. And if they have something like Hoyt, my son had a parasite and he had H. pylori. So we treated that and he's fine. Like, what am I going to do? I'm going to go to the doctor's office. I'm going to tick off the doctor because I'm not going to do what they say. And really the only design from that appointment is they want to shoot my kid with shots. Yeah. And that's not going to happen. So why waste an hour or two out of my day and an argument where I get stressed out and then I internalize that stress for the rest of the day when I could just take care of my freaking family, you know? Yeah. And you're like, well, what happens? Well, like, okay, if something happens, like I'll take them to Children's Hospital or something and do something in a life-threatening scenario, because that's what medicine is good at. Medicine is good at saving your life, but not preserving your life. Yes. You know, it doesn't make you healthy. So if it buys you more time to figure out what the cause was as to why you have that symptom, then be present in that moment to say, holy crap, I need to reassess my life. You know, people with cancer, they can view it again from a perspective standpoint of like, oh, how did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? Oh, poor me. Or, oh, shoot, I've been eating like shit for the past 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Maybe this is my sign to say, you know what? Maybe I should switch directions. Maybe I should pivot and go towards health. And maybe I should invest in that. Because if you keep living the same lifestyle that made you sick, you are going to continue to be sick. Whether you work with me and you're great for 6 months or a year, and you go back to a McDonald's diet or the standard American diet, I'll see you in a year. Because you're going to come back and say, your protocol didn't work. And I'll say, no, your lifestyle changes did not stick. I'm here to supplement your lifestyle and your stress and all of that. And if you get that under control, then you will be in control of your health for the rest of your life. If you fumble that, then that's on you. I'll be here and I'm a gentle giant. Like, I'll help you, but remember how you got here to begin with. I think it's really important to understand that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And it's funny that you say that, because that was the wisdom from my husband's doctor that he went to through the private clinic. She's like, okay, you did these treatments and your levels are looking so great and there's so much improvement. But if you don't keep up with the diet component, I'm going to see you back here in less than a year. So this is up to you now. And that was like, we knew that and that was our intention anyways, but it's, so many people are like, oh, I'm fixed now. I can just do whatever I want. And that's not necessarily the case. And same with spiritual growth and development. Like, you go through all these changes, all this awareness, all this healing, but then you want to keep going back to the people that hurt you, or you want to keep mm-hmm. perpetuating the same lifestyle that's not working in your favor, or you're totally out of alignment with. You have to see those changes through. And so I really like, I feel like we need to do a whole nother episode again.
Because I'd love to. Yeah.
Gold. And I know that there's going to be so many people who listen to this that are just like light bulb moment after light bulb moment, especially with infertility stuff, because that's a huge thing for a lot of women right now. And I think the biggest thing to take away is that it's not your fault, but mm-hmm. it is if you basically go on from this episode and don't look into it.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
like, there's options.
Yeah. Ignorance isn't bliss. And it's tough, because once you know a truth, you can't unhear the truth.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's your choice. What do you want to do with that information? Do you want to continue down the same path that led you to where you are? Or are you curious? Like, well, I have nothing to lose. Why not try this? Yeah. Why not start walking down this path? And maybe I can be healthy, and maybe I can have a child from this. It's, oh man, it's so, and again, like I'm very intense. Like, I use my hands. I've got some Italian in me. So like, I'm all over the place, but like, this intensity comes from passion and wanting people to get results, whether you work with me or whether you do something else. And when you talked about like the spiritual growth, that has such a huge component to things, where if you are in an abusive relationship, and I think, you know, the bug made people reassess the relationships. And I've had so many women over the past, year or so say, like, I'm in such a horrible relationship right now. I can't even communicate with my husband, or I can't even communicate with my wife. And then they're like, what do I do? And I'm like, hold on. Let's reassess this. Let's get some gems here, and let's put some steps together. But if you still keep going back to the same abusive relationship, or if you throw one relationship away and then you jump into another one, it's like, I talk about like you talk about like the feminine and the masculine energy.
Yeah.
So the feminine to me is like, okay, I've found a problem. Okay. Say there's a bad guy in my life, or bad boyfriend, whatever. You're like, okay, I'm going to take that. I'm going to throw that away, or I'm going to burn that in a fire. Right.
Yeah.
Cool. But now tap into the masculine to do some extra work.
Yeah.
If you have a circular hole, which is all of your characteristics that person fit, if you don't go and re-engineer that hole, you're going to gravitationally pull another circle to fit into that hole. And then you're going to get into a relationship, and 5 years later, be like, how am I in the same freaking relationship? You didn't do the spiritual work to get that thing fixed. So it's huge. I just wanted to throw that in there to kind of take it to the next level.
I love that. That's a perfect way to tie it all up, because that's what it is. It's you do the work to expand your awareness. So you realize there's a problem, so you seek out the help to solve it. But at the end, it always comes down to radical self-accountability and responsibility. Like, you have to be honest with yourself about what's happening, because getting told it and then actually having the aha moment that it's happening are two completely different things.
Right.
And that's why that growth is so important, because it's like, you get to fundamentally realize that you're actually in control of all of it. That as much as it feels like this is being rained down on you, you have the opportunity to truly fix, reshape, heal, mold this experience in a new way. So I was like, oh, don't kick me out. I'm definitely going to have you back on the show again. This is wonderful. It has been such a pleasure connecting with you and just really digging into this. I would love for you to take a minute to let everybody know what you have going on and how they can find you and be a part of your world.
Yeah. So the best way to find me is on Instagram. That's like one of the only things I like to do on that. If somebody sends me a comment or DM, it's doc_jock, JACQUE. And just find me on there and tell me you love the show or hated the show. It's okay. I have a website, docjock.com. And then we're going to be rolling out this infertility webinar there too. I coach other docs. So if you're a doctor or a health coach or somebody out there that just wants to know what it is that I'm doing, we're going to be rolling out a program. I would probably say in like a month or so, just putting the fine tunings to it. So that way more people can do this work. So that way more people can get healthy. But yeah. It's been a blast on here. I really appreciate you having me on.
Oh, awesome. Well, I'll make sure to link everything in the show notes, and I highly recommend you guys go and check him out, because he is phenomenal and you'll love his super quirky reels. And you'll know that he's actually not liking it, but he likes giving you the information.
Yep. Slight sacrifice, but yep.
Always worth it. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and I look forward to connecting to you again soon.
Likewise.
Before you go, I would love and appreciate so much if you could take a moment of your time to leave a 5-star review. It helps me to be able to get this message out to so many more in the world. And I am so truly thankful that you choose this place to be every single week. Until next time, don't forget to find the magic in today.